As you probably figured out, I'm going to go back and pick up those three verses that we left out. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Mark is kind of hard to deal with as a gospel. He's in very much of a hurry. And he leaves things out. I mean, suddenly we have Jesus. He's not even born in Mark. There's no birth narrative. There's just Jesus. So here we are. He's just called the disciples in the first chapter. By the time we get to the 21st verse in the first chapter, Jesus has splashed onto the scene, been baptized, and called disciples. That's an awful lot for 21 verses. In the next 24 verses, he is going to teach in the temple. He is going to cast out a demon. He is going to cure people, including Simon's mother-in-law and then the crowds that show up that night. He's going to take his show on the road and heal a leper. We're not even to chapter 2. Luke gives him just being born all of chapter 2. And it's easy for us to fall into the trap of trying to be as productive as Jesus. Newsflash, none of us is Jesus. And in this day and age, we talk a lot about being busy and how many different ways we are pulled. I don't know that any of us are realistically pulled any more directions than we see Jesus being pulled in this 24 verses. Healing over here, casting out demons, a little bit of teaching, and then we're going on the road. The piece that I see us failing to do is what Jesus does in those three verses I pulled out, and that is stepping out. It says, early in the morning, Jesus gets up, he goes to a deserted, a quiet, a separate place where he's not surrounded by people. Today, he would leave his cell phone at home. Intentionally. To pray. To talk with God. To be away from the quiet. To be in the quiet, to be away from the hubbub and the clamor and the demands of people. It doesn't last very long. By verse 37, the disciples have hunted him down and said, "Where were you? Everybody was looking for you." And that is one of the challenges of life, isn't it? How do we slow down enough to get some time? The world isn't going to do it for you. We've just had, in the last 2 weeks, about the only 2 days where we still shut down most things, Christmas Day and New Year's Day. That's it. That's as much as the world is going to pause for us. And yes, there were still stores open on both of those days, so it's not a universal pause. You're behind if you haven't started your Christmas shopping by 2 p.m. on Thanksgiving. Right? Our world is not going to create a break and Sabbath time for us. We have to be very intentional in making that happen. Most of us have lived through those days where we worked our Monday through Friday and we had grandiose plans about everything we were going to get done this weekend. How many of you ever got everything done on your list for Saturday? Yeah. How many of you even had on your list sleep in, take a nap, go slower? have a family meal. Pray. That's not something we do. It is something we need to do, but it's not something we tend to do. For me, the lesson encapsulated in the first chapter of Mark, as busy as Jesus is in it, he makes his debut, he calls some disciples, he shows up at the temple, he does some casting out of demons, he does some teaching, he does a lot of healing. He still steps out. And that is a necessary piece for us as followers of that man. Like we say we're Christians, we bear his name, we emulate Christ. Part of that emulation is stepping out to be in touch with God, to slow down so that we are not, as Lily and Silas so adequately put it, grouchy and cranky. We are going to find adequate reasons to be grouchy and cranky all by ourselves. This is one of those huge challenges for us, and it's not a new challenge. I mean, this goes back to that creation story. It goes back to the Ten Commandments, to set aside a day to rest. And as much as we look at progress and point at technology and laws changing and neat new things, we have almost lost the sense of a five-day work week in the 150 years we've had it. We have lost the sense of the need to rest and have downtime, because we're measuring how busy are we? How much can we get done? How many more things do we have yet to do? If we want to be good Christians, one of our simple things, not easy, but simple, is to take our downtime. In this world, that is a counter-cultural statement. Every year they do surveys of the workers worldwide. Americans take the least vacation days of any industrialized nation. It's not that we don't have them to take, it's just we don't take them. We don't rest well. Yeah, yeah, Gayla, you've got what, 17 years accumulated leave? It's not quite that bad, but it's close. I have friends who teach at the high school who have 360 accumulated days off. That is 2 school years of time accumulated. Think about that for a moment. God, I would love to have 2 years off with pay. Doesn't that sound pretty cool? Mike, I'm willing to risk it getting boring, Suzanne. One of the ways that we can show that we are different in Christ is to take rest, but not only to take our rest, to push for others to get rest too. All of those laws in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, it's not just, oh, you good, faithful people, you take your time off. It applies to the land. It applies to your male and female slaves. It applies to your whole household. It applies to your livestock. Rest is not optional according to God. Now, how do you rest? 100 years ago, we had blue laws. You guys remember blue laws? We had long lists of things you were not allowed to do on a Sunday, and almost every Sunday school class broke down into, well, I don't think gardening is work. Sewing isn't work. Reading's not work. Cooking's not work. The question here is that we're not going to find one way for all of us to get rest. How are you going to get rest? What restores your soul? Some people, that's their devotional time in the morning. Other folks, it is sitting on the porch watching the animals on the lake or in the woods or in the fields. Other folks, it's walking their dogs. How are you going to find rest? And how are you going to encourage other people to find rest in the name of Christ? Because the flip side of this is that not only do we get grouchy and cranky, we make some really boneheaded decisions when we're tired. And we make boneheaded decisions that are not easy to undo when we're tired. And to use the Bible word for that, it's called sin. We sin more when we're tired. So, it seems like there's a pretty easy prevention plan for some of this built into God's system. Get some rest. Take some rest. I think the verb there is important, to take it, to grab it, to hold on to it. Because it's not just going to sit there and wait for you. Jesus is going to do an awful lot, and we get sucked into his ministry. In 3 years, Jesus saves the world. What did you do by the time you were 33? Again, we're not Jesus. We are called to follow, though, and following often includes stepping out of the rat race and off of the treadmill into the quiet places where people have to go looking for you. So as we race through Mark, because it is January 5th, on April 5th, we will celebrate the triumphal entry. And on April 12th, we will celebrate the resurrection. So in the next 3 months, which is really only about 13 Sundays, we're going to cover 3 years of Jesus' life. You don't have to go that fast in your own life. Remember to step out and take time. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.